give him some real praise. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated this morning in the presence of the Lord. You may be seated. John chapter number 4, verses 13 through 18. Don't look any further. Don't look any further. It often amazed me the things that we, you, me, the things that we'll do in the name of love. We do some strange things and call it love. Love will make people stop someone else. In the name of love, they will follow you like they're your shadow. In the name of love, in the name of love, people will set aside their dreams, their wishes, their goals in order to serve someone else. And then we even get to those extreme circumstances where in the name of love you say, if I can't have him or her, no one will. I certainly hope I never meet anyone that loves me. That much. I mean, if we can't make it, just go on. But I'm not worth killing. I'm not worth you barking outside every night. I'm not worth you calling, breathing on the phone, and hanging up. I'm not worth all that. But in the name of love, we do those things. I know some of us here this morning, we laugh at those things, but once upon a time, that was you. But I love you, and you shouldn't leave me, because I'll do anything for you. And perhaps what God wants us to do is to be in a position where we'll do anything for Him and not for another person. Relationships change. It doesn't mean that one person is good or bad. It just means that sometimes people just change. At the core of who you are, you'll always be that person. But sometimes, based off the people that we hang around with and the spirits that we sometimes adopt, it makes us do some strange things. And when we begin to do those strange things, we quite often will throw those things under the title of love. And we'll say, the only reason that I did that is because I love you. Lots of people are dead this morning because I love you. Lots of people are behind prison this morning because I love you. Lots of people are strung out on drugs this morning because I love you. Lots of people gave up hope because I love you. Never love anyone as much as you love self. Amen. That we have sometimes is that we put all our love and all our energy in a relationship to make someone happy. First of all, you can't make me happy. You can make me content for the moment while I'm using you. But if I really love you, I don't even want that from you. Because one of the characteristics of love is that love is always faithful. In other words, love doesn't have in it a component of manipulation. Manipulation where a person tries to do this in order to get you to do that. If you're going to love someone, then the love needs to be a free-flowing, unconditional love. When you love someone, it needs to be the love of Christ, because you understand that no matter what you go through, love will never fail. Love will never fail. Now, there's a difference between love and lust.
That's right.
Lust is what I want, what my body craves, what I desire for me. But I can lust over something and have no feelings whatsoever toward it.
That's right.
What God is pushing us to is a place of love, and that is agape love, where it's an unconditional love, where you love a person in spite of how that person treats you. Now, that's easy to say, but hard to do, because we tend to have more of a filial love. It's a conditional love. It's an exchange love. The stronger you love me, the stronger I love you. What you do to me, I do to you. But God says love should be unconditional, not predicated or tied on anything else but the fact that you love God's creation.
Amen.
Now, it's also possible to love God's creation, but hate the foolishness that they do. I thought you loved me. I do love you, but I'm not going to let you walk on me like that. I thought you loved me. I do love you, but I'm not going to let you use me like that. I love you, but love doesn't make me a fool. See, sometimes we look for love, but we look for love in all the wrong places. We're looking for love. We're looking for someone because society has taught us, has trained us that if you're a young lady, then you have to grow up and the wedding has to be nice and you have to walk down the aisle and your father comes with you. And after that, everything just going to be all right. Well, I have some good news for you today. And the good news is that I'm going to save you the trouble by telling you that in any relationship, there will be conflict.
Amen.
The fact that conflict is present in a relationship only means that you're human. It doesn't mean that your relationship is failing.
Right.
But you got to hang around in order to work the thing out. You can't be so quick to, as soon as trouble comes, just say, forget about it. I don't want to deal with this anymore, because you said, I love you to death do us part. Now, to death do us part could be a long time, and it can involve a whole lot of pain, because when Jesus hung on the cross, Jesus hanging on the cross, the love that he showed to you and I was to be a demonstration of the love that we show toward one another. And the love that took him to the cross also was the love that had him nailed to the cross. In other words, what I'm saying to you is that love sometimes will always involve people who bring about pain. I want us to stop saying love hurts. Love doesn't hurt. The foolishness of the people in love hurts. Love is pure. Love never fails. Love never hurts. As a matter of fact, love is always seeking to give and not to receive. If you find yourself this morning in a relationship and you're the only one giving, you're the only one reaching out, you need to understand that you're not in a relationship, a healthy relationship, with somebody that loves you.
Amen.
If you love someone, then what love says is that love is also caring for and expressing that to another person. But we find ourselves in a relationship, the relationship doesn't work, and there we go. We bounce out of the relationship. Now, I know that we look at statistics today and we say that about 51-52% of relationships, of couples that get married, is going to end in divorce, and even worse in the church. I think it's about 63% divorce rate in the church, because it could happen to any of us. You're in a relationship, you know your commitment, but you don't know your partner's commitment until trouble comes. And when trouble comes, the smallest little thing will send you to divorce court. The smallest thing will send you to divorce court. Where you were looking for the big stuff, the small stuff, you said there's no way that will ever end a relationship. And then you look up and the very thing that you thought would not end a relationship is the thing that ended the relationship.
Amen.
And then out of one relationship, because we are afraid to be by ourselves, we are afraid to be by ourselves. Quite often, we as human beings need to spend time with ourselves. You just might like you. Try it sometime. See, but as soon as we get home, we turn the television on. As soon as we get in the car, we turn the radio on. Because we need somebody to talk to us. We need somebody to take our mind away from what's going on. And so when people stop talking and then we get out of one relationship, then we jump into the next relationship to recover from the rebound that we're going through without getting to know ourselves. And if you don't know you, whatever relationship you walked into, here you come. Whatever baggage you had from the last relationship, if you don't take the time to learn about you, you're going to take that same step back into the same relationship, and then the second relationship won't work, and the third one won't work, and the fourth one won't work, and the fifth one won't work, and then you'll wonder, what's wrong with all those people that I got married to? Mind you, the only thing that they have in common is you. So maybe you are the problem. See, but we don't like to look at ourselves. This morning, we're going to deal with this story of a woman who is just an everyday girl, just hanging out, doing what she does, and one day she goes to the well. Now, when this woman goes to the well, she's going to draw water. But understand this, that a woman in biblical days could not publicly talk to a man. But that's not the issue. This woman goes to the well, and what she's really doing is, you know, in society we all have these places where we can just hang out at? We call them water holes. You call them nightclubs. You know that place you just left last night? So don't judge the woman too quickly. Because some people, just like this woman went to the well to meet somebody, she goes to the well because that's where all the traffic, you know, when you used to hang out in the club, you used to stand by the door where most people came through, so you will increase your chances. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. So you will increase your chances of talking to somebody. Or when you go to the party, you stand here because the crowd is flowing through here, and you want to make sure that when he or she comes by, you already position yourself. So don't judge the woman too harshly this morning. So the woman goes to the water hole. She goes to the bar. How about that? You can relate to that. Happy hours. Happy hours. She goes to happy hours. She goes to the water hole. And when she goes to the water hole, she's not necessarily interested in drawing water from the well. What she's interested in part is meeting somebody. Because I already know her profile because she's been married 5 times. So I know what she's looking for. Somebody came to church this morning not to hear from the Lord, but you're looking for half of the mortgage. Don't judge the woman too quick. Somebody gave up something last night because you were looking for somebody to put a ring on it. Don't judge this woman. Am I all right? I'm just trying to keep it real. I'm coming back to this. It kills me when people come to church and then the preacher try to keep it real and they say, I can't believe he said that. Why? I can't believe you did that. I'm going to respect you, but I need to be real with you. I don't need to take and talk about a woman at the well and put it way back in the history. I need to talk about your well. I need to talk about where you're going every day. I need to talk about where I'm going every day. I need to talk about this same stuff that we're dealing with today that they dealt with in Bible days. How did Jesus address the thing? How did he make an escape for this woman? Because the same escape that she had to go on, that's the same escape that we need to get out of our mess. You do know you're in a mess this morning. You're in a mess when you're looking for somebody to put you. You're in a mess when you don't stand to be single. You're in a mess when you don't marry anybody just because they put a ring on your finger. You're in a mess this morning when you don't like you. You're in a mess. So don't judge the woman. Because she's still alive in the church today. And I don't mean she as a woman, the same thing as a man. Because, you know, we can go crazy on you too sometimes. Because we'll get married to you, young lady. But at the same time, we're looking for mama. We want somebody to make the bed up for us. We want somebody to cook for us. And in 2013, it won't hurt if you pay the bills too. Everybody here is employed and okay. Jesus meets this woman at the well. He meets the woman at the well. When he meets the woman at the well, he begins to ask the woman a question. He asks the woman, he says, in essence, would you draw water for me? And so what he is saying to this woman is, I'm inviting you to talk to me. See, because Jesus, the great prophet, knows everything. Notice the woman began to talk about water, and Jesus then jumped from the well and says, go get your husband. Now, I'm here at the club by myself. I didn't ask you whether or not my husband was at home, whether or not we were separated, good terms or bad terms. I didn't ask you any of that. All I asked you to do was to buy me a drink. That's all I asked you to do. I'll buy you a drink, but what you gonna do for me?
Be real about it, man. That's right. Be real about it.
Now, the story involves adultery, but you can sell yourself in different ways. Don't you dare offer me money for my body. Just take me out and spend the money on me. It's the same difference, crazy. He says to her, let me move on. He says to her, I hope you're getting something. I'm just trying to hear. He says to her, go get your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. He says, good that you say you have no husband, because you have five husbands. Now, the story begins in John chapter number 4, verse number 1 and 2. The story begins because somebody heard that Jesus had baptized more people than John. So, because Jesus had baptized more people, I know that the story then is going to unfold on baptism. Baptism has to do with repentance. So, Jesus conversating or conversing with this lady is to lead her into repentance. That's what the story is about. The story is not about five husbands. It's about changing your life. So, he says now, go get your husband. She says, I don't have one. I have five. And so then he says, very interesting that you say you have five husbands. But watch this. Notice that even if the woman has been divorced on earth, heaven still recognized the man as the wife. See, because that union doesn't exist because you don't want to play married no more. It's still continuing. See, we have to stop that. Well, you know, in the New Testament, God changed. Malachi 3:6 says, God changes not. What is a supernatural, all-knowing God going to change from God to be who? So God doesn't change. God doesn't even have to alter his plan. He does have provision. patience that is made available through the cross, but God never changes.
Amen.
So he says to the woman, you have five husbands, go get your husband. As a matter of fact, let me tell you something else before you leave. The one that you're with now, number six, he's not yours. Now, the number five represents grace. Grace. She's operating out of ignorance. She doesn't know any better. So she says, I marry him. If it doesn't work, I leave him. I go look for somebody else. So now she did that five times. She's now living with number six. The number six is the state or the condition of mankind. It's what man wants to do. The number six represents man. And so here it is once again. She's going and she's doing her own thing. She's been married. She get a divorce. That doesn't work. She tried again. She's looking for love in the wrong places. So this particular day, she finds herself standing face to face with the Son of God. She finds herself facing the only person in the universe that can satisfy all of her needs. Now let me pause right there and say something to those that are married. And that is, no one person can satisfy all your needs. It is impossible. No one person is going to be everything to you. That is impossible. If that's the case, the church needs to marry him or her. What I'm saying is that there's no perfect people. Everybody come with some baggage. The truth of the matter, baggage is good for you. Because baggage teach me not to do that thing again. Baggage teach me when that thing starts unfolding like that, ruin before you get married. Baggage teach me what not to do, where to step away from. So some baggage is good. So you come into the relationship and you bring baggage in the relationship. And so as we bring the baggage in the relationship, understand that all baggage is not bad baggage. You need to learn from your mistakes. You need to learn something from the things that you've gone through in life. This woman learned absolutely nothing. She was looking for love in all the wrong places. She was looking for a man to do for her what no man could ever do. And so now she's on number six, and he's not doing it, so she's still going back to the club, still looking. We have a relationship, but you don't mind if I go to the club just in case somebody there is better. I got one foot in your house, but I need to keep one foot available. And so we never commit to any one thing. And so because we're not committed to any one thing, we are divided, and the Bible declares a divided person is just unstable in all their ways. If you're in a relationship and that person won't commit, you better run, and I'm talking about run fast.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, maybe it'll change when we get married. You are absolutely correct. It will change when you get married, and most of the times it's going to get worse. Because I got it now. So yeah, it changes. Why are you dating and you shouldn't be going there? But the truth of the matter is, you get a little cookie here, a little cookie there. When you get married, then the cookies stop crumbling. While I'm joking, I'm serious. While I'm joking, we need to have these conversations. While I'm joking, we need to understand how to prepare to go into that union. See, because we go looking for love, we're looking for love in all the wrong places, the person doesn't satisfy us, and then we want to go to the next person instead of understanding what is going wrong right there. This woman has been married five times. It seems like she ought to be an expert at being married by now, unless she's bringing the same foolishness from one relationship to the next relationship to the next relationship to the next one. And here it is, she's on number six with the same foolishness. foolishness, and then she meets Jesus. He says, go get your husband. I don't have a husband. You're right. Since the one that you're living with now, he's not yours. And so what he begins to do is he begins to pressure her to understand who she is, to turn her to a point of repentance. To a point of repentance. See, we don't have a desire to change until we first see where we need to change. Because until this point, everything was all right. I thought it was the other five guys. I didn't know it was really me. You mean I wasn't supposed to do that? You mean I shouldn't have done that? You're absolutely right.
Amen.
See, but when we begin to learn better, then we have standards where we need to then begin to do better. And so if now we know better because we've experienced those things, we should do better. He says to her, go get your husband. In other words, here's a man talking to a woman in public. His question to her is, who's covering you? Who's covering you? And not just who's covering you, but what are you still connected to? Are you still connected to husband number two because he had the best job? Are you still remembering husband number three because you had the most fun with him? Are you still remembering this boyfriend? Therefore, you're comparing your husband to something from you were what you were connected with in the past. See, when you move forward in a relationship, it's the worst thing to do is to compare one person to another person. Well, when I was in this relationship, he used to do it like that. Well, why didn't you stay there? Why in this relationship, she used to do it like that. Why didn't you stay there? Don't expect that from me. Then we start putting pressure on people, and then we understand why the relationship goes south. You're not the person that I met. I'm glad I'm not the person that you met. People grow up. People change. But that doesn't mean that you have to grow apart. If you can get over the first couple of years in a relationship, trying to buy a house, trying to raise a child, trying to do all these things, and once you settle, why are you going to leave somebody then? I know there's always situations and circumstances, abuse, addictions, and other things that happens in the lives of people. I understand that. But let it be those things and not because I just don't like them or we just grew apart. You're supposed to grow. You're supposed to grow. But don't grow apart. Spend time so that you grow together. You'd rather talk about the water hole. Listen. He says, go get your husband. He wants her to see what she's still connected with. She says, I don't have a husband. He says to her, you're absolutely right. You don't have a husband. That you have five. In other words, what he's saying is the sixth one that you're on, you're about to make the same mistake again. And so Jesus pops up into her life and he says in essence to her, he says, let me show you a real man. Let me show you what a man is supposed to do. What a man is supposed to be about. Let me say this to some young lady here. When you compare Pookie to the one that God is sending you, because you have a lot of fun with Pookie, because you get to ride around and listen to Pookie Boom and on Pookie 24, that's not a man. That's a boss. But we have fun. Fun don't pay no bills. It does. But I like this. And so a real man comes. And when a real man comes, oh, he's too boring. Yeah, he's not like this. What do you want him to be?
Amen.
We have to learn that what we're asking God for, God is faithful. He'll put it in your path. Now, it may not look like what you thought it would look like, but it has nothing to do with the God that is in it. See, when we pray and we ask God for something, God is faithful. He hears what we ask for. She meets Jesus, and in essence, Jesus says, don't look any further. Don't look any further. Everything that you need, want in a man, is standing before you. When you meet someone in your life, and everything that you've been asking God for, I'm talking about quality and character and integrity. It doesn't matter if he's bald headed. Doesn't matter if she's overweight. That doesn't matter. That's shallow stuff. That doesn't doesn't matter. I'm talking about the heart. When you meet it and it's right in the heart, you better reach out to it. When God sends you that blessing, and I don't care how that blessing looks to you, if it's from God, you reach out and get it. Because God is saying to you, don't look any further. Everything that you wanted is in that package. But God, I can't see it. He says, you don't need to see it. You need to accept it by faith. Accept it by faith. You see, this woman had been married and divorced so many times, she was confused about what she was looking for. She meets Jesus, and Jesus says, don't look any further. Sometimes the person that is right for you is the person that is next to you and has been in your life all along. But we just friends. That's the best of relationships. But I've been knowing them all along. You need to know that. Because if you married Pookie, you don't know Pookie's background. Because maybe Pookie used to be Prince Ella. You don't know. I wish I was joking, but that's the world we live in today. Folks just confused. They don't know if they're a man or a woman. They don't know if they can go both ways or go no way. They just confused. Just straight up confused. And not only that, but our crazy self in society has begun to accept that instead of understand that as the body of Christ, we should be changing the world, not conforming to the world. So the same thing that's going on in the world is the same stuff that is creeping up in the church. The same thing. Don't look any further.
Hallelujah.
Jesus says, you've met me. Everything that you need in a man, I'm here. Everything that you need. See, when you go looking for someone, always look for Jesus. If Jesus can't be seen in the person, it's not the person for you. So in essence, what God is perhaps saying to us in 2013 is that when you're seeking someone to marry in this world, you need to see Jesus Christ first. If there's no sign of Jesus, no godliness about the person, you cannot change that person. You cannot change that person. The woman says to Jesus, she says, do you have, in essence, a bucket where you can draw the water? Can you reach down that deep and draw? The only thing that can reach that deep from heaven to this earth and draw is loving kindness.
That's right.
Only love can draw. Only love. So whatever relationship that you find yourself in, if the drawing power is not love, everything else is manipulation.
That's right.
Everything else is cosmetic. It's a person showing you something to get you in the relationship, then all of a sudden it changes.
That's right.
Only love lasts. And the Bible declares, through loving kindness have I drawn thee. See, God is still reaching out to you and I today, and he says, I'm drawing through love. All you have to do is just reach back and receive the love that he has for you and I. Would you stand with me this morning? God is saying to you, if you love me, reach out to me. That love has the power to draw. Love has the power to draw. Don't get emotional about church.
Amen.
Don't start hooping and hollering and shouting, and then you join the church and don't realize what you did.
Amen.
I made a mistake. I didn't mean to join the church. What did you come for?
All right.
We need to slow down so that we understand what we're doing. It's a simple message that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If the love of God is not drawing you, nothing else can hold you. It's the love of God that allowed you to go through what you've been through, and you still overcame. It's the love of God that allowed you to be in an accident, and you walked out, and you still can stand on your feet. It's the love of God that allowed you to go through surgery after surgery, and you still bounce back. It's the love of God that allowed your child to go to school every day, and your child returns back home safe, and nobody shot your child. It's the love of God that allowed you to travel up and down the dangerous highways. It's the love of God. It's the love of God that allows you to stay employed while everybody else is laid off. It's the love of God. It's the love of God that allows you to wake up this morning. It's the love of God. It's the love of God that allows you once again to be graced to do what you need to do. There's nothing greater than the love of God. Nobody's greater than God. Nobody's greater than God, and God is love, so nothing is greater than His love. He says, I love you so much, I give you my very best. I'll give you Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to the earth. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. We have everlasting life. All we have to do is receive His love. His love is absolutely free. With everyone this morning, that you need to receive the love of God. If that's you, we invite you to come this morning.